This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we talk about strategies, research, hacks, and suggestions for making our lives happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative. This week, we'll talk about why it's a good idea to beware of our vent to non-vent ratio in conversation, and we will answer a listener's question about why SMART goals don't work for everyone, especially rebels. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, the five senses, human nature. I am here in my little home office in New York City, and joining me today is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, to whom I often vent.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yeah, Gretchen, you took the words right out of my mouth. I'm an event, you're often the person I'm venting to.
Yeah, what are sisters for? Yes. We have a high vent to non-vent ratio. But before we jump in, I want to remind everybody that my most recent book, Life in Five Senses, is coming out in paperback as a thank you for people who pre-order, because as I often say, pre-orders do a lot to help a book by creating buzz among booksellers and readers and everybody. I decided to create a little treat for people who pre-order, and this is a secret chapter. So this is a chapter that did not end up in the final version of the book, though I experienced it and wrote all about it. And then, of course, rewrote it for the purposes of this, because I cannot help rewriting everything that I touch. But it didn't make it into the book, but I think it's an interesting story. Elizabeth, what do you think?
Absolutely. It was in the draft I read, and I probably wouldn't have cut it, but I wasn't making the editorial choices.
Yeah.
I love the chapter.
Yeah, well, when you read it, you'll know. You might be surprised by it. I will just leave it at that. It's a little bit outside my comfort zone.
And Gretch, as your sister, of course, I have to mention that this book was a New York Times bestseller.
Oh, well, thank you. What a nice sister. If you are interested in getting it, go to happiercast.com/secret chapter. This is for people who pre-order the paperback, but if you order the hardback, that's okay. You can still get the secret chapter. Yeah, so all the information is there at happiercast.com/secret chapter. And thank you very much for pre-orders. They do a lot to help a book. And now, Elizabeth, this week, our try this at home suggestion is to beware of our vent to non-vent ratio. Now, what do we mean by that?
Yeah, so we all vent. It's part of life, or most of us vent. I would say the vast majority of us vent.
And it can be good to vent.
Venting is necessary. But sometimes there are certain people in our lives who take the brunt of the venting.
Yes.
And it can get to a point where every time you talk to this person, all you're doing is venting. And it can be a lot for someone to listen to. It also can give a kind of false impression of your life. So we think it's good to be aware of how much are you venting versus not venting with different people in your life.
Right. And this is especially with if it's low-level venting, because you may be, you know, sometimes we're going through some huge challenge and we need to talk it through. But sometimes it's just like, oh, these petty annoyances, these little grievances. Oh, this bugged me so much, or this person always does this. And so it's not that it's this deep need to confide or you're really processing something big, but you're just consistently venting.
Yeah, to me, Gretch, the word venting sort of means that it's not
low level.
That serious. Yeah. You know what I mean? If it's
if it's
very a health issue, a child having a real problem, I don't consider that venting.
That's a really good point. Just the very definition of vent means that we're talking about those more minor grievances. But the thing is, it's draining for the person that's listening to you. If you come home every night from work and you're just grousing about this little annoying thing and that annoying thing that happened that day, you can really end up draining other people. And then also they can have a complete misperception of your experience. They might think, oh, wow, this person really dislikes her job, where in fact, you like your job, you're just venting and venting and venting.
Yes, I think that's funny. I think all the time that happens where one person thinks the other doesn't like their job and they'll say, oh, no, it's the best job I could possibly have. It's just
it's like you reminding yourself it's a fun job and I enjoy it.
That's why we have that as our motto, Gretch, because listening to us sometimes you wouldn't know that.
There is something called emotional contagion. We literally infect each other with our moods. And this happens in a flash. Like you can transfer your mood to somebody over the phone in a few moments. You can pick up an emotion from even looking at a photograph. And so because of this emotional contagion, we really affect each other for the better or for the worse. And research shows that if you're hearing someone griping consistently, it can bring down your own mood and give you negative emotions. So you're venting to somebody, but there is a cost to them if it's bringing them down.
And one way this comes up is with kids in college.
I hear this from friends all the time. And we all remind ourselves, like, we're just hearing the venting part, because what'll happen is a child will call and it's like, this is terrible. I'm having all this conflict with my roommate, or, you know, I'm having all this problem with this class, and like, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. Then they hang up, and then they go skipping off and have fun with their friends,
right?
Because they sort of relieve their feelings. And then the parent is left there thinking like, oh my gosh, are they okay? Is this going to work out? So they've picked up that mood from the vent, and they're hanging on to it, even when the child maybe is moving on. And so again, if you're the child in college, remember this, or if you're hearing it, I always remind myself and other people with my children, I'm always like, no news is good news. Probably if they're not calling, everything's fine, because we tend to hear when something's going wrong. And so the ratio is automatically skewed.
Yeah, and I think this is why camps don't want parents to talk to their kids. You know, that's a thing about camp. You don't get to call your child. And I think it's because they know if the parent calls, the kid is automatically going to be like, I don't like the food. I don't like this. I don't like that. But if they don't talk to their parents, they're fine.
Right.
So it's just that parents automatically bring that out. I mean, I know I do it, Gretch. I feel like I vent to mom and dad still all the time. And I try not to, but, you know, they're my natural people to go to.
Yeah, the venti. I think about this because I'm exactly the same way. If I'm going to vent about something, I call our parents. And so I always try to remember, well, I also want to, another way to guard your ratio is to make sure that you're bringing up good news or interesting things or funny things. Not to be a Pollyanna-ish, not to be fake, but just to remember, oh, it's just as fun to hear about, oh my gosh, the dogs did something incredibly mischievous, or this interesting thing happened in New York City or whatever. And, you know, we do our update, which is, it's okay to be boring, and you write those emails among ourselves. I just try to make sure that I'm including funny or happy or interesting things, as well as things like, this is a worry, or, you know, this is, we're dealing with this. Just to watch that ratio.
And it's interesting with my friends, Gretchen, a lot of times people will text each other or call and say, can I just vent for a minute?
Yes.
And I do think it's helpful when you frame it that way, because then the other person knows, okay, they're going to get something off their chest, but this isn't, you know, necessarily that deep.
Well, and it kind of, you're like, okay, that's what's coming now. And this is the role that I'm playing is being that sounding board. But the fact is, you know, if there's too much venting, it can be hard on a relationship because it could bring that other person down consistently. So that could be hard on them. And also it might make you feel worse because one of the things research shows is that we think of it as something that like relieves our feelings. But often people who complain experience deterioration in their mood afterward. Mm. And like there's other research that suggests that people who share negative emotions on social media experience lower levels of well-being afterward. Maybe this is because you're sort of directing your attention to the negative. So that's just what you're paying attention to. And again, it's not that there's never a right time to do this or a right way to do it or that we all have to be fake or, you know, only talk about how the glass is half full.
Yeah.
There's definitely a place where it's the right thing to do, but every medicine can become poison and you just want to keep an eye on it.
An eye on the venting to non-venting ratio.
Well, the final thing is, you know, we often talk about we should act the way we want to feel because our actions spark our emotions. A lot of times we think that we act because of the way that we feel, but in fact, we feel because of the way that we act. So if you're feeling reserved, you act friendly. If you're feeling listless, you act energetic. And in that way, you spark those emotions in yourself. But if you act quarrelsome, you're going to feel more quarrelsome. If you act annoyed, you're going to feel more annoyed. And so it's just good to keep an eye on it.
Yes, absolutely.
So let us know if you do try this at home and how watching your venting to non-venting ratio works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Facebook, or drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes. This is happiercast.com/474 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we have an app hack, but first this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like what was your favorite toy as a little girl or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. Okay, Gretch, we are back with this week's happiness hack, and it is from Google.
Yes. Okay. So for this, you need the Google app. This isn't something you can just do when you're searching in Google. You have to be in the app. So say you're on your phone, you're in the Google app, which you can download. And if you open it at the top, you will see a search bar that has two icons in it. One is a microphone and one is a camera. And they're both in those sort of Google colors. So this is what you do. You click on the camera and it will let you take a picture of something. And then if once you've taken a picture of it, it will pull information about it, which is bananas. So if you take a picture of an artwork, it will tell you, this is the name of that artwork. Here's the artist with links to things related to it. My daughter Eliza does it with items of clothing. If she sees somebody wearing an item of clothing that she admires, she'll take a picture of it and then she'll know who made it.
And I think people do this with birds a lot.
Oh, of course.
Yes. And trees.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that you're like, what is that thing? Or, you know, who made that thing? Or where did that thing come from? And now you can just take a picture of it.
Yeah, Gretch, I've mentioned before that I'm in a Facebook group called Beautiful Table Settings. And people use this all the time to identify china patterns. Because, you know, there are thousands of china patterns.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or what an item is. Sometimes someone gets something, they don't even know what it's used for.
Right.
And they'll use this feature to figure out, oh, it's a butter dish.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times with our own possessions, you're like, wow, my grandmother gave this to me. I don't even know what the story is, right? Yeah, so it's a way to do it that way. There are a lot of cool tools there. So if you open it up, like kind of poke around and see what other things you can do. Like if you hit the microphone, you could just speak a question and it will provide the answer. That's very useful. So it's a great hack.
Yes.
Moving on to the four tendencies tip this week, we got a question related to the four tendencies from a listener.
Heather said, I've been listening to your podcast for years, but I never thought to send my boyfriend a link to your four tendencies quiz until I overheard him speaking to his boss about SMART goals. What a surprise, he is a rebel. Can you say more about why SMART goals don't work for rebels? I'd love to arm him with some research he can share about why he needs a different method within corporate America. So Gretch, explain what a SMART goal is.
Yeah. And before I explain what a SMART goal is, if you don't know what a rebel is or the core tendencies quiz that Heather's talking about, go to gretchenrubin.com/quiz. You can take the quiz and learn a little bit about the four tendencies. But this is a four tendencies tip, so we're assuming that everybody knows their four tendencies. Okay. So rebels, of course, resist expectations, outer and inner alike. They want to do what they want to do in their own way, in their own time. So keep that in mind when I explain what a SMART goal is. So SMART is S-M-A-R-T. It stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, right? So you're getting a sense, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Okay, map that on to rebels who like spontaneity, challenge, doing things in their own way, surprising people, feeling their way. And it's not the way they approach big goals.
Yeah. The only thing that I could apply to a rebel maybe is relevant, but
yes,
specific, measurable, achievable, and time-bound are not things that are going to appeal most likely to a rebel.
Well, and I should also say, this doesn't say anything about accountability or supervision, but it's sort of implied there that mm-hmm. there's sort of a lot of check-ins or deliverables, and rebels tend not to like that. They don't like people looking over their shoulder. They don't like to feel micromanaged. I mean, I don't want to suggest by this that rebels aren't good at achieving goals. They're amazing achieving goals. They're sort of unstoppable. Once they decide that they want to do something, they're often extremely because whether you're ambitious has nothing to do with whether you're a rebel or not. Some rebels are ambitious, some rebels are not ambitious. That is kind of not part of being a rebel. So rebels who are ambitious will set themselves big goals. But like, it's funny about rebels, often like the fact that something is achievable, they want something that everybody thinks is unachievable. They're like, you think I can't turn this around by the end of the month? Watch me.
Right.
And so just the whole framework of this is not the kind of way to get a rebel excited about something.
So what can Heather's boyfriend say to a boss or coworkers that they won't take offense to explain that this is not a good method for him?
This is something that rebels often talk about. Many rebels have said to me that they don't like SMART goals, which is that the rebel tendency is the most different from the other three. Upholders, questioners, and obligers are more similar to each other, and they often don't understand the rebel perspective. And so it can be frustrating when you're trying to explain to a boss, because you can't be like, oh, you know, I'm so special, everything has to be different for me.
Yeah.
Even if you are thinking, well, you know what, I am so special, everything has to be different for me.
Yeah.
So I think the thing to do as a rebel is to just say, hey, you know, I know myself. I know you can count on me to get stuff done. I've got the chops. I've got the drive. You know I can do this. But if you just let me do it in my own way, let's talk about what the ultimate aim is. And like, I promise you, I will get there. But just, you know, hands off the wheel and leave it to me. And, you know, you would hope that somebody would say, let's try this out.
Yeah.
And if you can do it fine in your own way, then fine. Because if it works for you, all I care about is, are we getting done what we need to get done? And allow you to do it. And then, of course, the thing for the rebel is they do have to follow through with that, because otherwise they're not going to have the trust that they can do it in their own way and be counted on to follow through. If a rebel wants to follow through, then they can. Now, this gets a little tricky when you're in a team and the team is having the deliverables and the check-ins. You sort of have to think about that. I mean, one thing you might remind a rebel is, well, you need to do this part of that overall thing by X date, because if I don't have your numbers, I can't run my numbers. But again, it's like, this is information, consequences, choice, right? I'm going to give you the information that you need to make a decision. I'm going to tell you the consequences of your action or inaction, and then I'm going to let you choose. So I'd say something like, hey, Bill, if you don't give me the weekly numbers until Wednesday, then I can't hand in my report, and then I get in trouble. Mm. And so, which doesn't seem fair to me, because that's just the only piece that's holding me up. So then it's like, oh, I understand. If I don't get you this number, then you get unfairly penalized. I don't want that. So that makes sense to me about why I would do that. But again, you have to think about spontaneity, choice, freedom. Explain to your supervisor, these are the things that get you going, and you can be counted on to meet those goals in your own way. They are not smart goals, but they're the kind of goals that work for you. So good luck.
All right, Gretch, now we have some listener answers.
Yes, I have my Habits for Happiness quiz. Yeah, this is like a very quiz-heavy conversation. Again, GretchenRubin.com/quiz. And this tells people, what is the one new habit that they should work on to boost their happiness? So it's sort of like, of everything that you could choose, where would you start? This quiz will tell you where to start. And so it's been fascinating, now that tens of thousands of people have taken it, to see, well, what are the clusters of answers? You know, what are scoring high and lower? And to hear, what do people think of their result, and what are they doing with that result? How are they turning it into a habit? So here are just some interesting responses from listeners.
Yes, this is from Banks. I got the result of boost your energy by creating systems that improve daily life, which is so relevant and timely, because one of my 24 for 24 aims was to set up a home system with my husband so that we can free up mental space and have more space to enjoy life outside of home administration tasks. We are actively applying this now by listing out all the tasks we do to maintain our home and life stuff, delegating those tasks, and creating a system to track this weekly, biweekly, and monthly.
That sounds great.
Amazing.
Chantel wrote, I got make mindful choices to spend money on valuable experiences, and this answer really resonated with me. So much so that you inspired me to invest in a cabin weekend getaway organized through my graduate MBA program. I wanted to share this because I ended up having one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life. We went hiking, visited wineries, sang along to nostalgic music, made s'mores around the fire under the stars. It was perfect. And if it were not for your quiz, I never would have signed up to go. So thank you for inspiring me to invest in my own happiness. How fun.
Oh, yeah. I want to go on that weekend.
Yeah.
Holly said, I took your Habits for Happiness quiz the moment I heard about it. My result was to cultivate an existing practice. I immediately knew exactly what that meant. It was time to double down on my interest in watercolor. I love hearing you talk about your own growing interest in watercolor, Gretchen.
Yeah.
Doing more watercolor painting has been on my annual list of aims for years, since my 19 for 2019 list, at least. I made some halting progress, buying supplies, watching a beautiful series of lessons, painting every now and then, but never formed a truly satisfying habit until I got my quiz result. One of the suggestions was to make it more convenient to engage in that activity regularly by dedicating a space to it. I had a hunch this would be true for me, so I trekked down to my basement and lugged up an old desk that was stashed away. I tucked it in a corner of my dining room and set my brushes and paint on top. I'm not sure this fully qualifies as a strategy of convenience, but removing that one bit of friction has made a tremendous difference. I now sit down to paint for a few minutes here and there, no pressure to commit a big chunk of time to it. And seeing the space each time I pass by reminds me how much delight I get from sitting there. My quiz result and the accompanying suggestions were spot on. A few weeks in, I am indeed much happier for having worked on this habit.
Oh, that's so great. Yes, that is exactly how the strategy of convenience works. Just a little bit more convenience helps. And I have to say, I was surprised by how high creativity-related answers scored. More people than I expected, I should say, had creativity.
That is interesting.
Kelly wrote, for your newest quiz, my answer was deepen your relationships by making regular connections. This is in line with my 24 and 24. One of my tasks is 24 dates with friends, along with a hike with a friend and dogs, family and friend game nights, making a date to meet up with a friend who lives 90 minutes away at her place, and 12 date nights with my husband. It's interesting how often they see this reflected in their 24 for 24. So, people see themes.
Yes. And finally, Betsy said, when I took your habit quiz, I got make meaningful progress by taking consistent action, which is 100% who I am. One project that I'm already cultivating as a habit is every day when I find a couple spare minutes, I search my photo roll for today's date. I then go through all the photos and either put them in photo albums, delete them, or leave them. It's not a perfect way to go through my photos, but I delete a few photos every day in a slow motion project to go through the thousands of photos on my phone and cut some of my digital clutter. It would be overwhelming if I expected myself to sit down and do it all at once. I would not do it.
Great way to use those little interstitial moments. And by the way, this answer is one of the most popular answers to the quiz, is make meaningful progress by taking consistent action. So that's a great solution. It is fascinating. Keep them coming. It is fascinating to see what answer people got to the quiz and how they are putting that into action in the world. People are doing so many different things. Again, that quiz is at GretchenRubin.com/quiz if you want to take it. Love these answers.
Yes. All right, coming up, I give myself a reading demerit, but first this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Elizabeth, right this second, I am wearing my sweater from Quince. It's the Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweater in Everglade green. It feels so great, and it came in so many gorgeous colors. I love this green.
Yeah, Gretchen, I got the same sweater in white, and I absolutely love it. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen.
Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity complemented by the reliability of Toyota SafetySense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over two decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Okay, Elizabeth, it's time for Demerits and Gold Stars, and this is an even-numbered episode, which it means it's your turn to talk about a demerit.
Yes. Okay, Gretchen. So recently, Sarah and I, my writing partner and co-host of Happier in Hollywood, took a trip to Seattle to do research. Yeah. We have a project that takes place in the late 1800s in Seattle, so we wanted to do some research, and we had each gotten a few books to read about Seattle history before our trip. And you may see where this demerit is going, Gretchen. I did all of my research reading done before the trip, which I should have. So that is my demerit.
Well, I have that every time I travel. I'm like, why didn't I learn more about the history of Paris? Because, you know, it's one of my secrets of adulthood is the more you know, the more you notice.
Yes.
And, you know, you're like, oh, I read about that old bank, or, oh, that mountain is where XYZ thing happened. But it's hard to do all that reading sometimes.
Yes. And, you know, I'm so used to listening to books now that I have a shorter attention span when I'm reading actual pages. This is one of the, you know, I love audiobooks, but I am almost too dependent now on audiobooks.
Interesting.
So I think that might have something to do with it. So anyway, luckily Sarah did more reading than I did, so she could fill in the blanks. But for sure, I would have gotten that much more out of it had I done more reading. So next time, I'm going to, put the nose to the pages.
That's another secret of adulthood. The more you put in, the more you get out.
It is true. But it was a great research trip, despite that, despite my demerit.
Yes.
Okay, Gretch, what is your gold star?
I want to give a gold star to my daughter, Eleanor, because, rewind back to when Eleanor was small. She had a really tough time learning to ride a bike. And I think Jamie, my husband, would say that helping her to learn to ride a bike is probably one of his least favorite aspects of fatherhood in that era. Neither one of them enjoyed it one bit, but she did learn to ride a bike. So there was a day where she could ride a bike. So then she was going off on this trip where she knew there was going to be bike riding. And she said, I need to get back into riding a bike. I bet I don't even remember how to ride a bike. And I was like, literally riding a bike is the thing that people use as the reference point of something that you don't forget how to do. It's like riding a bike. And she's like, yes, but I will be the exception to that.
That's
funny. She got herself access to a bike and she persisted and did it and got back comfortable on a bike and to the point where she felt like, oh, I enjoy riding a bike. And then she actually, like, as part of this trip, she went on like a really long, arduous, demanding bike trip. And she was so happy with herself.
Oh, that's great.
She said at one point she did start crying
because
she fell off. But, you know, sometimes it's just you think I could save myself so much pain and frustration and discomfort and embarrassment just by saying, like, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
This is another secret of adulthood. We need to accept ourselves and also expect more from ourselves. And I could have imagined Eleanor just being like, you know what? Bike riding is just not my thing. But instead, she's like, I'm going to expect this of myself. And now she's so happy. She's having so much fun. She's like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Like, she really has gained something from it. And of course, riding a bike is something that if you enjoy it, you really can, you know, it's not like playing ice hockey where it's kind of a lot of trouble to get yourself in the place to enjoy it. It's like bike riding is something you can really enjoy. So anyway, I really admire, and she was very good spirit about it. She was not venting about it. Right. She was like, I'm going to do this. So I'm just full of admiration because as somebody who is like extremely physically awkward and really bad at things like riding a bike, I so identified with the negative part of it and not the positive part.
Yes, Gretchen, I'm reminded of you and I used to, with mom and dad, we took summer trips to Nantucket and we would bike to the beaches. And I think you and I did a lot of venting and complaining about biking, but aren't we glad we did that? Because it did give us a lot of biking experience.
That we did.
Well, I'm inspired by Eleanor for sure to do something hard.
Yes, to do something hard, because you may end up adding, it's the atmosphere of growth.
Yep.
We get so much from it. The resource for this week, again, if you want the secret chapter that got left out from Life in Five Senses, it is at happiercast.com/secret chapter. I'm offering that as a thank you to everyone who has ordered or pre-ordered the book. And speaking of books, Elizabeth, what are you reading?
I am reading The Heiress by Rachel Hawkins.
And I am reading Splinters by Leslie Jameson. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Watch your vent to non-vent ratio. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thanks to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Odyssey. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, and TikTok at Gretchen Rubin. And I'm on Instagram and Threads at Liz Craft.
And if you like this show, please be sure to tell a friend, tell one friend, tell two friends, tell three friends. That is how most people discover our show.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Craft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretch, your hair looks amazing today.
Oh, I got it cut yesterday. So this is like fresh from the salon. Like, enjoy it now. It won't look this good again until I go back next time.
It looks good today. Go to lunch.
From the Onward Project.